this morning. This is the first time I'm up here teaching as part of teaching team. So, of course, I'm a little nervous. But God told me this morning that all I had to do was just love on you guys and bring some words. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm excited this morning because what I'm going to be sharing on is something that, for me, is... Has anybody heard of Rhema? It's this concept. I'm not going to get too much into the Greek or Hebrew, but it's this concept of something, understanding something beyond book knowledge, right? So for me, what we're going to be talking about this morning is something that has been that for me. There's an intimate understanding of it, an experiential knowledge. And like Adam spoke about, we're going to be introducing a new series this morning on identity. And how we kind of came to that was as a teaching team, and the leaders of this church, we seek to know you guys and to see you where you're at and our own hearts as well. And what we've seen is, or what we've heard, are things like, it's hard for me to love other people when I don't love myself. Or maybe a bigger truth is, it's hard to love other people when you don't know the love that God has for you, right? We've heard or seen people struggle with being angry or hurt. We have people in our body who have had blow after blow after blow in their life, beating them to a pulp. And that breaks our hearts, let alone the person who's in that situation. And we're told to stand, having done all to stand. And that seems like a trite thing for me to say to someone, you can stand and you can do this. But there is a truth that's more than trite, and hopefully we're going to dig into that through this series. oftentimes, this concept of identity, we see ourselves as a certain way, right? We see inadequacies, we look in the mirror, or we compare ourselves to others. That's a big one. That's unwise, but we do that all the time. We compare ourselves to other people, and we see how we suck, right? And... And we dig into our own heart, you know, the world is really big on, oh, just look into yourself and into your heart, and what do you feel is right? Well, what happens when your heart is full of garbage, right? a prime example of that is when you're going through crap in life and you feel like there's no one there. You're so alone. You are so freaking alone. There's no one who sees you or who knows the details of the situation or who cares. So that's what your heart can tell you, but what does the word tell you? When there's a difference between what your heart tells you and who you think you are and what the word says, what do you do? In that situation, the word says, I will never leave you. In Hebrews 13, in Psalm 139, it says, even if you make your bed in hell, behold, not only is God there with you, but he is holding you in his hand, number one, and he is guiding you. So that's the truth. So what do we do when there's a discrepancy between what we see of ourselves and what the word says about us? And it's kind of funny because identity is not something that I would think that we struggle with here at Whitewater, because we have a lot of identity going on in this room. A lot of beard stuff and a lot of motorcycles and music and all of that. But this is an identity with a deeper value. It's an identity that was paid for with a very high price. And when we don't walk in that identity that God provided for us, you're not living that abundant life that was a huge sacrifice to bring for you. So saying that, I want you to hear my heart. There's no condemnation. If you are walking in an identity that is in and of yourself, and it's not walking in what God has for you, we've all been there, and there's no condemnation. That is not my heart. But we are in life, and oftentimes we have these hard times, and our head just hangs from the weight of it. Anybody been there? Where your head is just heavy, and you can't even look up. You can't look to anyone for help. Your head is so heavy, you cannot even move. You can't breathe. You can't lift your head. But to that, that's where I hope that this series will take us. Because it says in Psalms that, and this is a verse that I've used so many times, it says, Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. you are my glory and you are the lifter of my head. So he's a shield, not only in front of us, but encompassing us. He's a shield about us. He's our glory. And to deny the glory of God in your life is to deny what was sacrificed for you. So there's an identity that was provided for you, and we can walk in that. And hopefully, digging into this series, we'll learn more about that. Specifically for me this morning, we're going to be talking about overcoming. And growing up in church, I've heard a lot of sermons about overcoming spiritual warfare, right? It's very important. If you struggle with spiritual warfare in your life, that can be something that eats your lunch and pops the bag. But you don't have to be in fear of that. You don't have to be in fear of that, because the spirit that's inside of you freaking rules over that, right? That's a defeated foe. So if you struggle with fear or about spiritual warfare type stuff, I encourage you to talk to the leaders here at Whitewater. Talk to me. There's a word for you in that, and there's identity that overcomes that. Another sermon I've heard a lot about overcoming is sin. And that's not really a soapbox that we jump up on here at Whitewater very much, because we believe that salvation starts at relationship with God, and sin is kind of an afterthought that takes care of itself with relationship. But sin is another one that if you don't overcome it in your life, it can be death to you, right? So it is important that you overcome sin. And so, again, get help with that. If you don't understand how you're an overcomer and your identity in that, come talk with someone. Talk to someone about it. But this morning we're going to be talking about overcoming your past. And when I first kind of presented this and was talking through it with the teaching team, we wanted to make it clear that overcoming the past is not being trite about it and, you know, ignoring the weight that has happened to each of you and in your lives. It's not pretending that it didn't happen. You know, you need to learn from your past. And an example of that kind of a story that I learned that kind of nailed that lesson into my brain was about a man who started a house church down in Colorado. And he was a godly man, dynamic, and that church grew big time to about 12,000 to 15,000 members. So pretty sure this room could fit in their bathroom. It was a great church. And during this story, I was actually attending that church. It was wonderful. And this pastor just happened to be very vocal politically, which added to the destruction that came later on. He was very political. He had politicians in the foyer of the church oftentimes, and people in the church could go and talk with him and see what their political views were. But this huge church, it came out in 2006 that the pastor had been involved with a male prostitute, and there were drugs involved, and it was very, very messy. And the media, of course, blew it up, and it was a hard thing, and those people were broken. Those people who had been there since it was a house church, they were broken. And it was a devastating thing. The leadership of the church had a board of elders, like most churches do, and then it also had like a triad of trusted advisors that were outside the church. They were pastors of other local churches. And the Bible college that I was attending at the time, a couple months after this broke, one of the advisors was on the ticket to kind of come and speak with us. We were all curious what he would talk about, because he had the inside information to this story, and it was still very much in the news and all of that. So when he came, I was actually surprised, because it's seen as bad form to kind of put someone's life on display like that. But he spoke about this man and the lessons, the wisdom that could be gleaned from that, and without being too candid. But at the very end, I'll never forget, he said something like, the destruction that happened through this situation was so great that it would be foolishness not to glean every single bit of wisdom from it that you can. And that's true for our own experiences, right? When crap hits our lives, freaking learn from it, get as much wisdom from it that you can, and then move on. And I would say even that you can learn from the wisdom of other people's experiences, their wins and losses in life. Another example in the Word of somebody who did this right, who was able to gain wisdom but then move on from the crap, was Joseph. So Joseph was the son of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. Then you have the Jewish people. So Joseph was the favorite son, and that was evidenced by a coat of many colors, it says. And his father gave him this, and it made all the brothers jealous. And then Joseph kind of fueled the fire a little bit because he had these dreams that God gave him, and they were dreams about the purpose that God had. And in the dreams, his brothers and his family bowed down to him. And maybe he could have used a little bit more tact when he shared this information, but it wasn't too long after that he ended up in a hole to die. They took his coat and they left him in the hole to die. And then by a stroke of conscience, they actually took him out of the hole and sold him into slavery, which was much better. But you could argue that bit of yuck in his life was probably a little bit self-inflicted. So there are times in our lives where the crap in our lives is somewhat through our own choices. Joseph's story goes on. He ends up in Egypt, and he is a blessed man. And so he climbs his way up in authority and ends up in this guy named Potiphar's house. And he must have been a handsome bloke because the wife has the hots for him and goes after Joe, tries to seduce him. And Joe does the righteous thing, and he freaking runs out of there as fast as he can. And the woman, scorned, decides to turn the story around, and she accuses Joseph of coming after her, and he ends up in prison. And again, Alicia, thank you for that wonderful example of prison. Not exactly like the prisons we understand today. Prison like yuck prison. And in there, that was another situation that his life was kind of in crappy times. But that time it wasn't because of him. It was just happenstance of life. And in the prison, he ended up interpreting some dreams, and he was then able to, through a few people, interpret a dream for the king. And then that brought him out of prison and into a position of authority where he was then able to save not only the people of Egypt, but the surrounding areas, which included his family. And so the dreams were fulfilled because when his family came, they bowed down before him. And Joseph, instead of having that memory of his own people, his own family rejecting him to die, instead of having that pollute the present, he was able to love on them. He embraced them. And so that's an example that we can use in our own lives of you can overcome your past. You can move on. You can learn from it, absolutely. But don't let that put you in bondage to it. So with that in mind, I want you to consider your own life. And not just the crap things that come into your brain instantaneously, but just take a second to ask the Lord what really the things are from your past that weigh into who you are now. The crappy things. So considering those things, have you learned from them? Have you gleaned every bit of wisdom that you can from them? And then what does that look like to then move on? In my own life, I had an experience where I had one of those yuck things, big yuck things happen in your life. And for me, it was I had been brought up in the church, loved God, loved people. And my whole life's ambition was to become a missionary. And I went to a Bible college, and then I did a third-year optional apprenticeship and went down to Belize to start one of these Bible colleges in that country. And I was under a director, and there were 5 apprentices, including myself. And the situation, similar to Joseph, went sour. And the I was kind of trained for that situation, a hard situation where you had to stand up for what was right. And so being in Belize and being in that situation wasn't really hard for me. But when I came back, because I was kicked out of the country and also kicked out of Bible college, but that's another story. Anyway, so when I got kicked out of all this stuff and ended up, oh man, it's so hard not to cuss up here. It really is. But I'm not going to. When I ended up back on my rear end, back in Wyoming, and all these people in my support group who loved on me and who provided for me and prayed for me, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what questions to ask. It was awkward. And what was God telling me to do? Defend yourself? You know? No, no. He was saying, keep your mouth shut, which is God's favorite thing to do, I think. And so I kept my mouth shut. And so then the rejection came because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. And even someone who was very close to me, a boy who was probably the closest thing I've ever had to a brother, said, you know, Anna, sometimes we just miss it. And I just wanted to slap him in the face. I wanted to kick him in the shin and say, I didn't miss it. I would have done the same thing. God called me to go to Belize, and I did what I was supposed to do. I was there for a purpose, and I fulfilled it. I don't know why I'm back here and what my life is going to look like from here on out, but I didn't miss it. And so anyway, that was probably the hardest, one of the hardest things received from my own people was just that rejection. And I thought that I had worked through that. That was years ago. And, you know, I know the Word of God, and I have an identity, and I am above this, and I'm going to move beyond this. And I didn't realize until teaching team, actually, that I was living in bondage to that. Because when teaching team asked me to join, I was so excited. Because being with a group of people and talking about the Word and being genuine with like-minded people, that's exciting to me. But when I went the first couple times and Matt said, here's the newest member of our teaching team, I said, whoa, let's just rein it in a little bit. How about a probationary period? And I actually use those terms. And I think that I know I miscommunicated that it was because I wanted to kind of test the water out, right? But really it was just preempting rejection because I had been rejected so harshly by my own people, and I wanted them to know that, yeah, I'm a crappy person. I've got a bad personality. You guys need to know what you're getting yourself into before you let me on this teaching team. So that was weighing out in my life. That history was putting me in bondage. That death that I had in my life was playing out present day. I wasn't walking in the identity that God had for me. So what does that look like then to overcome that? If you can recognize that in your life, the next step is to overcome it, right? And it says in Romans 8:37, in the Bible somewhere, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Okay? It's a good verse. I'm going to use that for someone else. But how does that relate to me? What does that look like to actually walk in the identity when everything tells you inside your heart and what you see in the mirror and what you see from other people compared to yourself is that you suck. So what does that look like to take what you have and disregard that and instead walk in the identity that you have through Christ? It's that verse about denying yourself daily, taking up your cross and following him. It's not just about sin or passions, or lusts of the flesh, although that's true. Part of that verse is denying yourself when it doesn't correlate with what the Word of God says about you. Deny it. So an example right now is that I'm on this stage with this silly, stupid microphone thing around my head. I love it. Can we get some chorus people back here in like a spotlight? My favorite place to be. Right? I'm up here. I'm inadequate and imperfect in and of myself. But I'm not my, it's not about me. who I am is about who God is in me. And the fact that I'm bringing word to you this morning is because of the Holy Spirit working through me. And I know it's going to be good because of what the word says. The word says the preparations of the heart belong to man, but his every answer is from the Lord. And I prepared my heart for this sermon this morning. And this is word to you. This is rhema. So I'm denying myself and my imperfections, and I'm standing up here in confidence, not in who I am, but in who God is, speaking through me to your heart. And I pray that you have ears to hear. Because this is good. This is life. This is identity. This identity series can be so good for you if you have ears to hear. It all kind of stems from identity. It stems from, first and foremost, relationship with God. And that's relationship with God is an understanding of the brokenness that there was between God and man. In the beginning, by man's choice, sin entered the world, and that broke relationship. But understanding that Jesus, the Holy Son of God, when he died on the cross and rose again, he was taking the punishment that you and I deserve for our sin. And when you receive that by grace, that grace through faith, then you can start relationship with the Lord. You can mend that brokenness. And that's when the Holy Spirit starts to enter into your life and you have power and you have identity through the word. You have identity to overcome your past, to when you have relationships with people, not to let the crap that who you were, whether it's guilt or rejection or whatever it is, not letting that form of death play into who you are now. So what does the word of God say about you? The word of God says that you're strong and that he's always with you and that you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Those things. The identity of God. You can walk in that. So going back to this verse from Romans, it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that things past or present, that neither death nor life can separate you. There's lots of things in our life that are death. It's just a different form of death. It's the yuck of life. But that doesn't separate you from the love of God. And so I pray that through this series and through this morning that you would be able to stand strong and that you would deny yourself and be able to take the truth of what the word says about you instead of what your eyes see or what your ears hear or what other people tell you. Just deny it. Just get up there and put on a stupid thing on your ear and preach the word. Or do whatever the Lord tells you to do, and because it's not about yourself. It's not about you. It's about who God is in you. Your life has that potential because God provided for that. Your life has potential to be more than just you, to go beyond the scope of you. You know? I'm going to throw a children's church for a loop this morning. Is that all right? Let me see. Let me check my notes. Yeah, I'm done. I actually planned this because I have homework to do, but just kidding. That was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you guys to get out of church early this morning and take me to lunch. I don't know. Should we pray? All right, let's pray. God, you are a good God to us, and we thank you that you have paid such a high price for the identity that we can walk in. And I pray that you would help us to see the opportunities and have the strength to deny ourselves and to walk in that, to overcome the past and the death that might be in our lives and walk in the life that you have provided for us. We love you, and it's in your name that we pray and that we live. Amen.